We continue our learning. Le'ili Nishmas David ben Menachem Unish and Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Elia. We're in the final two Mishnayos of Maaseches Trumos, Perek Yud Aleph. We begin with Mishnah Tes. Karshine Truma Ma'achilin Osam LeBehema Ulechaya Uletarnegolim. Karshine Truma refers to it's a bean. We call it vetch. It's generally used as animal food, but if people really need to, under dire circumstances, they would eat it. So because of that, this is something which has a requirement to from which we have to separate truma, since it is machal adam under certain circumstances. But the Mishnah is now teaching us, of course, I do have to separate truma from karshinim, from this vetch, but I'm also allowed to feed it to the animal, which means that a kohen can feed this truma. Kohen is permitted to feed truma to his animal, and since this is primarily used as animal food, he's permitted to feed it to them, and it's not considered destroying truma. The Rambam's of a minority opinion that a kohen can feed any truma to his animals, but most of the based on the pasuk of a kohen. And yochal bo is a reference to all types of foods that are truma. And if it's his kinyan nefesh, it's kinyan kaspo, nefesh can refer, according to some, to animals as well. Not only slaves, but even animals. So we can feed the animals any type of truma, but most Rishonim claim that based on the simple reading of the Mishnah, that they were permitted to feed them animal fodder that's also used as used for human consumption and has the status of truma, but not necessarily all types of truma. So that's what it says. Behema chayin tanagolim can be fed karshine truma. This is not considered wasting truma. Then the Mishnah says, Yisrael shesachar para mikohen. You have a Jew, Yisrael, a non-Kohen, who rented an animal from a Kohen. So this is a Kohen's animal. So it has to be treated as a Kohen's animal. And that's what the Mishnah says, Ma'achila karshine truma, he, the Yisrael, is permitted to feed this animal that he's renting from a Kohen, to permitted to feed it truma, animal food, as we said, let's say karshine truma. Because this is legally the property of the Kohen, even though it's being rented by Yisrael, the animal belongs to the Kohen himself. Now, there is an interesting question that the Rishonim raise on this Mishnah. Okay, good. Here we are, we're feeding this vetch, this karsheni truma, to the animal that's being rented, and are not wasting anything. It's not an issue of kedushas truma, because, after all, this is the property of the Kohen. But nonetheless, doesn't the person who's renting the animal, doesn't he have an obligation to give truma to a Kohen? Here he has truma. So why does he have this truma? He's going to feed, it's not like the Kohen gave him this truma. This is truma that he, the Yisrael, has. So why is the Yisrael using his truma to feed the animal that belongs to the Kohen, that he happened to rent from the Kohen? Shouldn't he have an obligation to give the truma to the Kohen? So the Rishon have different answers to this question. One understanding is that when you feed the Kohen's animal, so this is something that the Kohen would agree to. We assume that the Kohen here, we assume that the Kohen gives such permission. He's not stealing from the Kohanim. It's the Kohen's benefit. And the non-Kohen, has what we call Tovas Hana anyway. Tovas Hana means that the ability to choose to which Kohen you want to give to. So here, it's true that the Yisrael is not permitted to eat Truma, and he has to give it to the Kohen, but he has the right to give it to whichever Kohen he wants. So we could view this as if he's giving this to the Kohen, who's the owner of the animal that he's renting. And there's an understanding that the Kohen is perfectly fine with the Yisrael feeding the Kohen's animal, this animal fodder, this vetch, this karshine truma, because he's going to feed him plenty. He's going to fatten up the animal that way and not be concerned that he's using his own chulin. So this seems to be something that everyone would agree upon. Now others say no. We assume that that here the Mishnah should be understood that the non-Kohen is the arrangement that they made is that he wasn't responsible to feed the animal. It was the Kohen who was responsible to feed the animal. So the Karshine Truma that's being fed is really Karshine Truma of the Kohen himself. Mishnah continues, and the other case, v'kohen shesachar par mi Yisrael, afal pi shemizono seha alav, lo yachilana kashine truma. What if now we have a kohen, and the kohen is renting a para, a cow, from Yisrael, so kohen has a lot of truma. And even though the responsibility is upon the kohen, let's say in this case, to feed the animal, he's not allowed to use karshine shruma, very simply, because this animal is the property of the Israel. And it's true. It says, kohen ki kne nefesh kinyan kaspo. And nefesh, we want to, hu yochal, but we mention again, nefesh can include an animal as well, a slave and an animal. And it sounds like that in a kohen's animal, we say, good, the kohen's animal is allowed to be fed truma. But this is not a kohen's animal. And it's not his kinyan kaspo. And that's why he's not permitted to do so. Now, one interesting point is the following. Is a Yisrael, when we speak about a non-Kohen. So a non-Kohen is not allowed to eat truma. Is a non-Kohen permitted to benefit from truma? So according to some Rishonim, a non-Kohen, although he can't eat truma, he is permitted to get hanah from truma. If that's true, then a non-Kohen's animal should be able to be fed truma. This case says a Kohen is not allowed to feed the animal truma. What's happening here? Yisrael's not eating the truma. His animal's eating the truma. The animal belongs to Yisrael. Okay, so what is that? What's essentially happening? The animal of Yisrael is getting, the Yisrael, the owner, is getting benefit from the fact that his animal is being fed truma. So what's the problem with that? So therefore, I need the pasuk kohen ki kne nefesh kinyan kaspo to teach me only when it's the nefesh, the animal, which is a kinyan of the kohen, is he allowed hu yochal bo. And that's why that pasuk is so critical, because without that, I would have thought there should be nothing wrong with a kohen feeding truma to the animal of Yisrael. Now, where the Yisrael is getting benefit, it shouldn't be an issue. The pasuk says it's not allowed. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with that. Yevamos Rav Samach Vavam at Beis. He says it's not true. He says a non-Kohen, true, is permitted to derive benefit from truma, but not what we call hanah shel kilui, not where the truma is being destroyed. Here, since the animal, as he's eating the truma, it's destroyed. The entire, all the food that is truma, that kashin truma, is being eaten. So that would not be hanah that would be permitted for Yisrael, and therefore, even without a pasuk, I know very well why the kohen is not permitted to feed truma to the animal of a Yisrael. Mishnah continues, Yisrael shesham para mikohen lo yachilena karshine truma. Here you have a Yisrael, and he assesses the value, what we call shuma. He appraises the value of a para, and what happens, this is really a business arrangement. What happens is that you have a non-Kohen takes the cow of a Kohen. They now assess the value of the animal. And he, as part of the business deal, the non-Kohen is going to fatten the animal, feed the animal. Hopefully the animal will improve and increase in its value. And he, the non-Kohen, guarantees he's going to return at least that principal, at least the appraised value of the animal. So this is an arrangement where the non-Kohen is now there to increase the value. So let's say, so here it is a Kohen's animal. So maybe you should be able to feed it Karshine Truma. Says the Mishnah, no, because this is considered partially the non-Kohen's property. Because this is it's the non-Kohen who guarantees to pay the animal's value back to the Kohen, regardless of what happens. That makes it like his property. Maybe even primarily his property, because he guarantees it. And therefore, you can't feed it Karshine Truma, even though it started out really as is the para of a Kohen. The Kohen Shesham Para Yisrael, Machilo Karshine Truma. And of course, the reverse. If a Kohen assesses the par of a Yisrael, but now the Kohen guarantees to pay back that value, so now we consider it as if it belongs to the Kohen, and therefore Ma'achila karshini truma. He, the Kohen, is permitted to feed karshini truma to the animal. There is a question about ribis regarding this arrangement. We'll cover that probably in the fifth parak of Bava Metzia, Meretz Hashem, when we get there. Parak Yud Aleph, Mishnah Tes. Mishnah Yud, rather. Now we're going to deal with what we call Shemen Sreifa. Shemen Sreifa, we may know that from Bamem Alikin, the second parak of Masechet Shabbos, we call something Shemen Sreifa. What's Shemen Sreifa? It says, Ein Malikin, the Shemen Sreifa, the Yom Tov. You're not permitted to use Shemen Sreifa. What Shemen Sreifa is oil that became Tameh, and because it became Tameh, we're supposed to burn it, and therefore we give it the title of Shemen Sreifa. Now, why are you obligated to burn oil that it has become Tameh? Why does it get this title Shemen Sreifa? So it's a Machlokas Rishonim. Rashi believes that the destroying, burning that Truma is there as is to guard you, is to protect you from eating the Truma. So if you want to destroy it another way, you can burn it, can you have whatever you want with it. Tosis is of the opinion, no, there's actually a mitzvah to burn Truma Tameah. Very similar, if I have a carbon that became Tameah, we have an obligation to burn it. So this is a mitzvah is actually fulfilled by burning it, and it can only be destroyed in such a way by burning it, and not any other way. So here's the Mishnah where, when we mentioned many times, the Kohen getting benefit as the oil is being burnt, it's Tameah being burnt, but using it as for illumination purposes. So Madlikin, Shemen Sreifa bebate knesios ubebate midrashos umevos ha'afelin. We're permitted to light Shemen Sreifa in shuls, in bate medrash, and these dark alleyways. Now, this is truma oil since it's tameh. We know we're not permitted to eat it. But as we've said many times, you're permitted to get hana from. Now, the Yishalmi says this is allowed even if there's no Kohen here. Notice the Mishnah doesn't say anything about a Kohen. It says you're allowed to be Malik. It sounds like a Yisrael also. Now, Yisrael is getting Hana from Shem and Sreifa, from Truma. Truma, this is Tameah, but nonetheless, he's getting benefit. So you see from here, if this is true, if no Kohen is present, right, we've mentioned before. Didn't we say that a Yisrael is permitted to get hana from truma, but not a hana shel kilui? Remember feeding the karshini truma to the animal, to the animal of a Yisrael. So that's him getting benefit, but the truma is getting destroyed. So too here, as it's burning, the truma is getting destroyed. Why would this Mishnah imply that even a non kohen is permitted to do so? So therefore, the Rishonim answer that it's true like this. Mido Raisa, a non-Kohen is only prohibited to eat Truma. Mido, right? It's Mido Rabbanon that he can't get Hana if it's Hana Shel Kilui. So if since it's only Mido Rabbanon, we employ the principle of Hey Mamu Ve Hey Mamu. The Chacham are the ones who made the decree. They have the right to tell you when it doesn't apply. And they felt that it's a shul, it's a base medrash, dark alleyways, that's a public need. If that's something that's going to help the public, it's dangerous, or it's a shul, so many people, so then we have the right to be lenient. Same way, when it comes to the air conditioning breaks in shul on Shabbos, we wouldn't ask a non-Jew to turn on the air conditioning in our home if it's really hot. But if it's in shul, there's a public need, so there we certainly allow it. So that's one explanation of this Mishnah. There is another explanation, which is very simply that a Kohen has to be present. Although it doesn't say it in the Mishnah, it's self-evident that if you're using Shemen Sreifa in a shul, there has to be a Kohen present. A base measure has to be a Kohen present, etc. And that's because, according to some Rishonim, it's actually a din d'oraisa for a non-Kohen to benefit from a hana a shel kilui. So we wouldn't allow, if it's an issa d'oraisa, we wouldn't say now all of a sudden there's a special dispensation because, well, it's a public need. We wouldn't allow that, and therefore there has to be a Kohen present. Mishnah continues, Val gabe hacholim birishus Kohen. And on top, literally, over the sick, we're permitted to light using Shemen Sreifa, Birishus Kohen. Now, the way where the most Rishonim understand Birishus Kohen means, once again, in the presence of a Kohen. A Kohen's there. Now, why is this important? So let's say according to the first explanation of the first line in the Mishnah, what this is saying is like this. This is a chole. This is an individual. This is not a public need. So the chole feels that now, this is not a chole sheish mosakana, but chole feels that without the light, something terrible is going to happen. So then of course it's allowed to use shem and sreifa, truma that was tamei, oil, to light, to illuminate the room. We're talking about a chole sheish mosakana. So here it's an individual. So we wouldn't allow such a thing unless a Kohen is also present benefiting from the light. The Rambam has a different interpretation of the word Birshus. The Rambam claims that Birshus means with the permission of a Kohen, as if we have to ask the Kohen permission for the use of the Shemen Sreifa, and if he allows that, so then it's okay. The Rambam is focusing here not on the Kedusha of the Truma, whether we're permitted to use it or not, but on the monetary issue. Here I'm using something of the Kohen, I should ask permission. We're not going to learn the Mishnah that way, but that's the rest of the Mishnah, but that we have to keep in mind. Bas Yisrael Shani says the Kohen, the Hilimuda Eitzel Aviha. You have a Bas Yisrael, a Yisrael, a daughter of a Yisrael. She's not a non-Kohen, but she married a Kohen. And so, Bas Kohen who marries a Kohen is Ladi Truma. That's the halacha. But she also spends a lot of time, Vihilumuda Eitzel Aviha. She's used to be spending a lot of time with her father also. She's not like she got married and run off to live with her husband, never visits. She spends a lot of time with her father. So the Mishnah here says, Aviha Madlik Bereshusa. It says the father is permitted to light. Once again, Bereshusa, the Rambam would say with her permission, we're going to understand Bereshusa means when she is present. He is a non-Kohen. He's not allowed to use the illumination, the oil, the Shemen Sreif, and the Truma that became Tameh for illumination, unless there's a Kohen also using it. Since she is married to a Kohen, she's permitted to use Truma, so she therefore, if she's present, her father, who is a non-Kohen, is also able to light it for the both of them. Madlikin beveis ha-mishtav alo beveis ha-avel. And then another halacha, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, were permitted to use Shemen Sreifa, this truma that became Tameh, in a Beis HaMishtera, that's a wedding and a banquet, but not in a Beis HaOvel. What's the difference between the two places? So we're speaking about that there is a Kohen that is present. Now, you certainly have a lot of people. You have a Beis Avel, probably Kohen's present. Beis Amish, probably Kohen's present. But, so if that's true, that if Kohen are present, then it shouldn't be an issue. So why is Rabbi Yehuda telling them, he doesn't mention anything about, if a Kohen's present, not present, sounds like in a Beis Amish always it's fine, and a Beis Avel it's not. So what's the difference? So it should be permitted in both places. Nonetheless, we should have to worry about the following. Maybe a non-Kohen who's there is going to take the candle, and he's going to move it to a place where only he's going to benefit from it. So Rabbi Yehuda says, at a party, remember this is oil, these are oil lamps. Oil lamps, people at a party, somehow they're schmork, people don't care, everyone's eating and they get their clothes dirty, no one seems to have a problem with that. But moving a candle already, it's oily, I don't want it to spill, so no one's gonna move a candle from one place to the other. So we're okay, there are Kohanim present, no Yisrael is gonna move that candle over for himself because he's afraid he's gonna get dirty. So therefore, Bebeis HaMishter, you can use Shemen Sreifa, this Truma Tamei oil. Avalo Beis HaOvel. Beis HaOvel, no, people are generally not dressed fancy. The Ovel certainly not dressed fancy, and the people coming to visit also maybe are wearing soiled clothing anyway. So we're afraid that a non-Kohen may move the light, the lamp, over to where he is sitting in particular, and the Kohen will not be getting any benefit at that time, and only he, and that's going to be a problem. That's Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of the Mishnah. Now, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Beveis HaOvel, Aval lo Beveis HaMishter, the exact opposite. He says in a Beveis HaOvel, yes, you can use it, but not in a Beveis HaMishter. Why? Because he says, no, I feel like this. In a house of, in a Beveis HaOvel, you walk into a Beveis HaOvel. the mood, everyone can tell the mood. What, if someone's going to be moving things around? You see a lamp over there, I think I'll move it over to me. No one's going to do their base to Avil. But at a big party, everyone's having a good time. So yeah, people move things. Oh, I want to move the light over here, I'll move it over here. Move the chair here, people move over there. People are willing to do so just because of the atmosphere. So therefore, he says that a base to Avil, I don't have to worry. And therefore, you're allowed to use the shemen strafer there, the truma oil. We're not afraid of Yisrael is going to move it away so that only he and not a Kohen is going to get benefit from it. But in Beis HaMishnah, we're afraid and should not use Shem and Strafer there. Rabbi Meir, Oser, Khan, V'Khan. Rabbi Meir is strict in both places. He's afraid it may be moved by Yisrael in both situations, both Beis Avel and a Beis HaMishnah, taking into account both the concerns of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Osi and Rabbi Shimon, Matir, Khan, V'Khan. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, he's permitted in both cases. It's Beis HaMishnah and Beis HaAvel because he's not afraid of both the non-concerns of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda of above that a person is not going to be moving the light. Rabbi Shimon says it's okay both in the Beis HaMishnah and in Beis HaAvel, and we have all four opinions. One last point. When it came to this girl, this Bas Yisrael married a Kohen, and she spends a lot of time by her father's house. So he said, oh, her father's allowed a light, Birshusa, when she's around. So some of the Achronim ask, what does that add to the Mishnah? You already told me. Let's say you have a Chola. If there's the Kohen's present, Birshus Kohen, you're allowed to light it. Okay, so now this girl, obviously her father is a non-Kohen. She's married to a Kohen. He can't get benefit unless she's getting benefit. So what's the Shaila of the Amalek Birshusa? Of course, Aruch HaShulchan answers that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that he can light, it says like this, Avia Madlik Birishusa means that the father is permitted to light, he's expecting her to come visit, so he's going to light the Truma oil now, before she comes. So now he's getting benefit under the assumption she's going to arrive. Maybe she'll never arrive. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that he's permitted to do so nonetheless. Slick Maseches Trumos, Mazel Tov.